This state legislature, since it took office back in January, has been as active as any perhaps in the history of our state. It's tackled tough issues, very controversial issues. Remember, one of those were the rules involving teacher tenure and seniority. The legislature passed a series of bills on that, and now we're just starting to find out how that's going to impact school systems. The bills were designed to give schools the opportunity to rid themselves, school districts, the opportunity to rid themselves of underperforming teachers, those that were not living up to expectations in the classroom, which had been a real problem, according to administrators. Now, the Michigan Education Association has continually said that ridding the system of tenured teachers was not a problem, and that school districts, basically paraphrasing now, did it all the time. But is that really true? Well, the Mackinac Center has done a study on this. Jarrett Scorup is a research associate there, and he's on the other end of our line to report on the findings. Jarrett, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. Doing well. I know I don't have to ask how you are, because I know you're probably still pretty excited after Saturday night.
It was quite a night, wasn't it?
It was.
That was, the football game just capped off the evening. That just it made it all the better. It was a great night to begin with, and looked like it was going to be spoiled by the game, and then instead it was accentuated by the game.
That's right.
So it was a wonderful victory, but the coaches all have that 24-hour rule. You celebrate for 24 hours, and then you've got to forget it because you got another game up ahead. It's sort of like you. It's sort of like you. You do one good story, and then you put it away after 24 hours and say, okay, what's next on the agenda?
I like to compare myself to college football players.
Yeah, I like to as well, and that's the only comparison I can honestly make is the 24-hour rule. That's where it ends. So listen, you issued a Freedom of Information request to a number of districts looking for tenure cases over the past 5 years, June 2006 through June 2011, and what did you find?
Yeah, we issued this request for every school district. We had some notable exceptions that didn't get back to us in the last couple of months, most notably Detroit. But overall, we got almost every district, and we issued the request for any teachers that tenure teachers that they removed, but any tenure teachers that they attempted to remove. And we wanted to know the total cost that they paid, whether by severance package or court costs or tenure commission hearings, anything like that.
And the findings indicated that there were some tenure cases that ridded districts of teachers, but not all that many.
Yeah, we had 156 total cases out of the last 5 years. And, Michigan has tens of thousands of tenure teachers, and we ended up estimating that this worked out to be less than 0.001% of total tenure teachers in which school districts attempted to remove them. And actually, it's probably a lot less than that. That's the higher end of just what our best estimate would be.
Right, which it sort of puts into dispute the claims that school districts are just willy-nilly trying to rid themselves of teachers for any old reason. That's number one, this system was not used that often. But maybe more importantly, when it was used, it was very expensive for school districts to be able to rid themselves of teachers who were not living up to expectations and serving the taxpayers well.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And talking to administrators and superintendents, I'm not trying to say these guys aren't doing a good job or something. The point is that the system quite obviously needs to be changed. They have to evaluate whether they want to spend hundreds of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars, in order to remove a teacher, or do they want to keep that money in the classroom, in which case they just have to offer a severance package or, keep the teacher on. And I have a listing of cases. I mean, some of these are actually illegal activities that they had to pay to get these teachers out of the classroom, kissing
teachers. Well, give me some examples here.
Sure. Yeah, we had districts where, teachers were caught kissing students or headlocking students, sexual misconduct, possession of drugs on school grounds, all kinds of criminal activities.
And school districts could not simply fire teachers for these actions. They had to go through the 10-year process, and that often resulted in settlements, as I understand it, right?
Yeah, and the vast majority of them, it did. I mean, they had to go through all these legal loopholes and appeals, and to go through the collective bargaining agreement and the unions, and in most cases, they just offered a settlement agreement of tens of thousands of dollars just to get the teacher out of there so they can move on and continue educating students.
And what we've got to remember, this is taxpayer money that's used to make these settlements. So that's money that could be going into the classroom in a lot of ways. And the good news, though, goes back to that 0.001% of tenured teachers who actually have been fired. It's a very low number overall. And compare that to other professions where you can have a removal of license, say lawyers, doctors, etc.
Yeah, the famous number on this was in the documentary Waiting for Superman, and they quote the Department of Education and a variety of state statistics, basically that nationwide about one out of every 57 doctors and about one out of every 97 lawyers not only, you know, leaves the profession or is removed, but they actually lose their license, which is, you know, pretty serious thing. But meanwhile, only about one out of every 2,500 unionized public school teachers with tenure gets fired. So a huge difference. And that's just, you know, stopping teaching, not losing a teaching license or anything. It's just actually removed.
Now, that could tell you one of two things. Either one, it's very difficult to remove a teacher who does something wrong. Or two, you have an incredibly low number of underperforming educators or those committing these acts you talked about.
Yeah. Or you have a extremely incompetent superintendent. But I would you know lean towards. I mean I you know I certainly respect our teachers. Both my parents are teachers. My wife has her teaching degree, and I respect the job that they do. But those numbers seem to suggest that something's wrong with the system.
So what's to be learned now from your findings in this study of all the FOIA requests in 475 school districts here, Jared?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to look into this just because we were hearing a lot from some of the unions that, specifically the MEA, that, you know, teachers have the ability or administrators have the ability to remove these people. They just often don't do it or you know, something along those lines. So I wanted to kind of look and see if that was the case, and it's pretty clear it's not. They, and especially talking to superintendents, they really want to remove teachers. They just have to evaluate what's the best way to use taxpayer dollars. Now, the good news is that the legislature has passed a variety of a series of pretty good bills on this. And do I have a minute to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, so the probationary period for teachers, the time when they don't have tenure, has been upped an extra year. And in basic terms, if teachers are rated ineffective or highly ineffective for a couple years in a row, they can lose their tenure status, which means that, you know, they can basically just be removed by superintendents.
And that change, everyone within the educational system is hopefully going to raise the level of teaching. Look, you can go into any school, and from my own experience with relatives and friends who are in teaching, they can tell you who the bad teachers are. They know.
Yeah.
And it benefits them to get the poorer teachers out of the system so that those who are committed to the kids and their education, who work harder, who really do deserve their pay and probably more, can continue to excel. It makes them look even better. So,
yep.
Thank you for the work on this, Jared. It's all available at the Mackinac Center website.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Jared Skorup from the Mackinac Center. He's a research associate there, and he's done some good work on this.